Ryan, were you set in your ways as I was on a day, game day where it was, if I'm on the road, it's about eating the rubber chicken, a little ice cream with chocolate sauce, and then in bed at 1:30 and not out of the wrapper till about 4 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock. There's my extra hour that I'm going to lose on Friday.
Yeah.
Where were you on sleep? Because is 1 hour enough for these players today to capture on a back-to-back night?
I think you nailed it. I was just like you. I was, you're setting your ways, you're setting your routine. I remember whether it was a 7:30 start or a 7 o'clock start, I had my exact time that I was closing my eyes, turning the TV off, trying to shut it down for, I was a 2 hour guy. I know some guys are all the way up to 3 hours or 4 hours. And some of the younger guys, when I got older, they said they go home and they shut it down for 4 hours.
Four.
I don't know how you're starting, you're awake right now. 4 hours. I'm like, sleep at night, but
coma.
But yeah, I'm the same way as you were. I mean, you're set in your ways. And I remember early starts, like if it's a 6 o'clock start, a 4 o'clock start, like weird start times, I'd have to sit down and work it backwards, right? Like, okay, so like, when am I going to eat? When am I going to sleep? Well, how am I going to get my 2 hours of sleep in? So a lot of guys are that way. There's not too many that don't sleep or don't have a very strict routine on game day.
Yeah, it's the only way to survive the full season. One of the interesting teams we've been talking about this season is the team the Leafs played last, the New York Rangers. You got a lot of experience with that group there. Very interesting team this season. Would not be surprised any range of outcomes from a, you know, sort of top of the division anywhere down all the way down to the bottom. What are your thoughts on where they're at and the changes they've made, their expectations this year?
Yeah, obviously, I think even dating back to, I think it's about 2 years ago now when they started that kind of rebuild where they sent a letter out to the fans and, you know, they're trying to go in a new direction. I think that got fast forward pretty quickly, the signing of Panarin, Zibanejad when he came over and the amount of success they had last year, right? So all of a sudden they're like, you know, we're kind of in a window where we can start gearing up and trying to win. And in a market like New York and similar to Toronto or those big markets, they're not very patient, right? The fan base with a rebuild or starting over. So they went out and signed some guys. They got brought Truba in. And they look good. I mean, they looked really good. And obviously their goalie's going over to Shesterkin now. You know, I was a little bit nervous about that, but the way he started the year, the way he played last year, I don't think they're going to miss a beat there in net. So I think you're right, though. It's a kind of an interesting group where you look at it and you say, do they have enough in their bottom six to compete through a whole 82-game schedule? You know, if they make the playoffs, can they compete in the playoffs with that bottom six? And I guess that's my question mark for them is, you know, is their depth good enough? You know, going out and getting Reeves, and I don't think he does much of a factor there other than, you know, obviously he gets a little bit more ice for guys and the guys are aware that he's on the team. But, you know, I think a guy like Gaudreau is a huge signing for them, bringing him in, winning 2 Stanley Cups in Tampa. And we all know the way he plays. So it's an interesting team. And I don't think they've gotten off to the start they want either. But you got to remember, you got a new coach there in Gerard Gallant where, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit to get used to a system, implementing a new system, getting used to a new coach, that coach getting used to those players and their tendencies and their ways. So I'm not going to judge them too much until they're about 10 games in. And then I think you'll get a real picture of what they're going to be and how they're going to play and the kind of success they're going to have.
And Ryan, a new president and general manager, and quite the statement from their owner, James Dolan, when he let go John Davidson and Jeff Gorton after a few years. And
I had
started hearing thoughts of maybe this could be the year we could see Mark Messier finally get in there. And everybody's been wondering, how does Mark Messier not end up being there or being a big part of it? And even Gretzky's name I had heard had ties into the possibility of getting involved with the Rangers in between the firing. And then Chris Drury comes in and scoops it all up. And you just, like, you wonder now the timing of Chris Drury and the impatience of a Dolan, does that match up here? because I got to think there's a ton of pressure on Chris Drury right now to win.
Yeah, and I think going back to that, like you said, the firing of, or whatever you want to call it, it's firing of Gortz and Davidson. I mean, I was shocked as everybody else was, right? It seems like they turned a page, they were going in good direction, they had a good team. Pretty quickly, they're gone. And I always think that Chris Drury was sorry, his little guy running in on me.
Mine's name's Justin.
Damn.
Chris Drury, I think, was always kind of there to groom into getting into that spot, right, under Gortz. And knowing Chris very well, you know, I think he's a perfect man for the job. But as you said, there's pressure that comes with being a general manager of the New York Rangers, right? They want to win, and they want to win now. Like I stated previously, they're not too patient on a rebuild in an organization like that. So it's going to be an interesting mix with Dolan and, as you said, his little bit of impatience and wanting to win, and Drury trying to put this thing in motion where he's not making big moves that he's just trying to make to win instantly. But I think he's the right guy for it. I mean, he's got the right attitude. He's been around forever. And knowing him personally, he's a competitive guy. And, you know, I love that they named him the general manager once I saw the other two go, unfortunately.
Well, the Rangers situation seemed like one of those things as an outsider that, like, someone's not telling me something. Like, I know the people in the know are talking behind the scenes about what really went down here. There's the Tom Wilson New York Rangers moment. But to your point, the team was headed in the right direction. They had turned things around quicker than they thought. Like, was this really the product of one bad incident that they were unable to deal with? Or was this sort of something that came from a bigger issue with the ownership and management?
I think it was a bigger issue. I know I definitely don't think the Tom Wilson incident had anything to, you know, right, to do with that. And also it didn't have anything to do with, you know, Chris Drury going out and getting Ryan Reeves. I think they had, from what I've heard, they'd had Reeves on their radar for quite some time. And, you know, I think just it's an easy way to point to that and say, that's the reason why that this happened, right? Is that Ryan or that Wilson incident. So I think he's a big pickup where you do protect some guys like Panarin and things like that. And I guarantee Wilson does think twice when that happens. But I think this is all just part of the process of trying to get tougher, trying to get a team that grinds a little bit more. And as I mentioned previously, in the bottom six, you know, and I think Goodrow's another guy that they got that helps out with that.
Drury also has his hands full with his 2018 top 10 pick in Kratsov, who has now left and is back in Russia. And this isn't a good thing for the New York Rangers. Not that Kratsov was going to be a great player today or tomorrow, but this is a top 10 pick. And what does Drury do now with him? Do you just trade him off? What kind of message does Drury have to send here?
Yeah, it's tough too. And you said a top 10 pick. I mean, the way the salary cap is, you got to hit on those, right? You got to hit on those picks and have them come in and be impact players. You know, at that entry level deal, just the way the salary cap is structured. And yeah, they're in a tough spot now with him going back home and kind of waiting. And I mean, I guess you hear rumors that he's willing to go to Hartford now and he's not willing. But I think there's definitely going to be a marketplace out there for him. He's a very talented player. Obviously coming with a bit of baggage, you can already see that. So that'll put up some red flags to different general managers looking at acquiring him. But if he's not playing for the New York Rangers in the next, you know, year or so, you have to move him. I mean, your hands are tied at that point. You have to get some assets back for a top 10 pick. Like I said, you have to hit on those. And if you don't hit on them, you know, you better hope you get a return, because that's how you have to build teams now is through the draft. You know, the days of signing big free agents all over the place and building your team that way are over. You know, it's got to be through the draft and through scouting. And so Drew's in a tough spot there with that one, but I'm sure he'll figure it out one way or the other, either getting him over here and playing or, you know, finding a deal that works out for the organization.